I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's awesome. Ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 8. We are here with my good friend Darren Carter, the party starter. How are you?
Pow, it's Bill Glass. I'm back.
Yahtzee,
shifts. Yahtzee, yeah. Rushing, launching rocket candy for my diaper.
Ass candy, yeah.
Ass candy. I knew it was something like that. Yeah. Booked a commercial. Fucking commercial. No, how's he say it? I love the way you guys say that.
Fucking commercial. I think that's how he does it. I think I might have accidentally picked that up from him a little bit because I just, I do, I'm a big fan of the way he said the word fuck.
Like I love this, it. I know.
Fucking.
Wait, can I do a quick impression?
Yeah, of course.
Guys, this is Justin. I know I'm not going to cry.
You son of a bitch.
I know. I just want to say that, you know, I do the road and I love my family and. I really want to listen. I know there's a pause button and I could hit it, but you know what? I'm raw. Okay, guys. No.
Well, that was fun, Darren. You want to do a moment of the week and go home?
I do impressions.
You're gonna come into my dojo and you're gonna.
Oh wait, this is Dan Gabriel. You had Dan Gabriel on recently. Yeah. Dan Gabriel.
Poor Dan. He had a cold too. He was even more. Dang. He's like, I'm gonna be even more nasally than I usually am.
Well, I gotta say, you know, and I'm just rubbing you. You and I have been friends for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I love your podcast. When I'm on, and I do listen to, it's funny how we listen to certain podcasts mm-hmm. in certain times, you know, like I listen to yours, I don't know, for some reason a lot when I am alone, when I'm away from my family as a touring comedian mm-hmm. and I listen to you and it's just, when I hear that opening song kick in, it just makes my day, man. And have you said before what it is? Because I don't remember what it is.
It's Chasing the Sun by Pounders. I actually brought it up last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you haven't heard that because we literally recorded last week, last night. So.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Some trick stuff, man.
That's why. Yeah, exactly. We're doing the podcast magic.
When I hear that song, I'm just, yes. And it was always, and gosh, you know, you guys, and to me, it's always funny when you would get frustrated at something or someone, or you know your in-laws, you know, maybe they're mm-hmm. asking for directions and you're getting in your car looking for them, or and just I love that frustration. It was always just funny to me. And
I might have a little bit of it for you today.
All right.
Don't know. I had a shit-tastic day with my kids.
Oh boy. No.
Yeah, it was, and then my poor wife walks into the door, you know, and she's like. It's one of those things where, for whatever reason, 5 o'clock seems to be the shittiest part of my day because Jack will not let me put him down. I'm cooking dinner because, as you know, I'm the bitch in my relationship, Darren.
No, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I wish that was, trust me, instead of a cup of coffee, it was very close to being some Southern Comfort and Coke right now tonight. I was like,
5 o'clock somewhere. Means the shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah, it was bad. And he wouldn't let me, he's just screaming at me. He wouldn't take his second nap. So I was just at my wit's end. My poor wife walks in the door and she goes, did you spend $200 on the credit card? Now, this is, she has a job at a credit union, and she opened up all these accounts. She also opened up a Macy's credit account, again, without me knowing it. And she likes to throw around because she does home loans. You know, yeah. we're considering buying a rental property. So she's prepared. She said, I'm preparing our credit for when we have to fill out a home loan application.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, okay. But daddy runs all the finances. Okay. So I'm the brains behind the operation. She goes out. She's the workforce. And so she opens up these accounts, and then all of a sudden I start getting, well, I need to pay $200 towards the Macy's bill. I'm like, well, what the fuck? And she's like, or I can make the minimum payment. I'm like, no, we have a credit card that we primarily use so I could get miles, and we pay it off. Boom, 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 boom.
So you can build the credit up.
Exactly. Well, no, I just want the credit for the Southwest miles. That's all I really want. Mm. And she says, well, we need to have a secondary line of credit open because that looks good on a home loan application. I could give a fuck, to quote Bill. So she walks in, she goes, did you spend $200 on this other credit card that she opened without my permission, which pisses me off. And then I find out that there was some kind of weirdness in the way she set up our accounts that we have with the credit union. Cause we have, it's yeah. So it's just so I had a moment of just like, what did I say? I go, it's a very proud moment when I lose my temper because I say some of the stupidest shit in the world. I go, this is great. I go, yeah, you come in, just start opening fucking accounts, guns blazing. I say, like some kind of fucking rebel without a cause. You got it all handled. You got it all figured out. How's that working out for you so far? Huh? How's that working out for you? Did you know what's going on with these accounts? Because I fucking don't know. Again, to quote Bill. But so, yeah, that and then, you know, we cook a dinner and then I messed up rice. It's just weird. I don't think you would. Would you when you're 15 or even 20? Let's say 20, right? Yeah, yeah. 20, you're out of the house. You're on your own. You're doing your own thing. You've the road is ahead of you. Would you ever think at some point in your life, I'm going to be angry because I messed up the way I made rice?
No.
And that's going to fuck up the rest of my day.
You wouldn't. In fact, you know, Travis Tritt even had a country song where that was a soothing thing to him after 9/11. He talked about rice cooking in the microwave. He literally sang that, and it's a good something about it's all good in the neighborhood or some kind of country song. I don't know what it was.
So he was able to find peace and cooking rice.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm just like,
you're pissed off.
I have to put my kids down so I don't harm them.
Is it Minute Maid? Because you weren't. Was it like 60 seconds?
It was Rice-A-Roni.
Rice-A-Roni.
No. We have the 90-second Uncle Ben's that you put in the microwave and just. But it's not as good as the. This is like four cheese. You know.
What made you mad? Like you put too much water.
You're supposed to make it when you make this Rice-A-Roni four cheese. This is the problem.
Yeah.
We have standardized plugs, you know what I mean? And we have standard. There's rules. And if you're going to wire a house, there's a standardized USB plug if you're dealing with your computer.
Yeah.
All these kinds of things that you need. For whatever reason, Rice-A-Roni has decided to go fucking rogue in the way that they make their rice. In that, 8 different flavors of rice are made the same way. Here's how it goes, Darren. You put a tablespoon, maybe 2 tablespoons, into the skillet. You let that melt. Then you pour in the rice and vermicelli. You toast the vermicelli a little bit. And then you throw in a couple cups of water. Well, Daddy, he puts a cup of water and then another cup of vegetable stock or sometimes chicken stock adds to the flavor. Put that in there. And then you add the seasoning.
Yeah.
But not when you do the creamy four cheese blend. When you do the creamy four cheese blend, you're supposed to just add the water, let it simmer till the rice is almost done, and then add the seasoning, and then it stirs in because I guess you're not supposed to simmer the seasoning for too long. So it goes from the, like, I'm losing my shit, and then Jack is fucking 11 months old and obsessed with cooking. I don't understand why. I don't understand. But he's like, I got to see what's going on in the stove. And as we all can imagine, what really mixes well with a toddler-esque baby type situation is heat and fire. So it's like, so I found this. And because I'm a self-proclaimed quasi redneck dad, I found a way that if I set him next to the stove, you know what I mean? I'm in between him. My arm is there that I could cook.
Yeah.
He could see it. I don't have to carry his 25-pound ass while I'm cooking and cook with one hand, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm doing all, I find, then it's cute because now he's stirring the rice like I'm stirring the rice and it becomes this like super sweet, sweet moment.
Yeah.
But then he starts getting excited. He starts pulling other spoons out of the thing that has all, and he starts putting them in there and I'm like, okay, all right, okay, all right.
And what's Jacob doing?
I have no idea. He's probably leaving, packing his bags, finding some other pen.
He's not like on the other side, like, what's in that boiling pot?
No, he's,
that's good.
This is what's good about, and this is why oldest kids always get the short end of the stick, in my opinion, is because they're over over there just taking care of themselves, being an unsqueaky wheel. Meanwhile, shit whistle baby is not is fucking up my dinner plans and my evening.
Yeah.
And so, and he's just watching some kind of shitty Disney sitcom that's
on. You're kind of hungry when you're making this rice?
Yes. Yeah.
That's worse. It's almost like male PMS, I would imagine.
It is.
Like
it is. I would agree.
Well, we're just like, I'm hungry and I'm the rice. And fuck it. Fuck it. I do this every day.
Well, and then for me, it's really weird. Like, I have this stupid thing in my head where I'm like, I could do this. I could do this. Moms all over America do this.
Yeah.
I could do it and I'm going to do it. Now I've learned that it's fucking hard, but I still think, I still think that it's fucking hard because A, I haven't figured out a good enough system. So I'm still working on that. And B, because I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience that one should have when dealing with a baby. Yeah. I'm not wired quite well. I have my moments, you know what I mean? It's not like every day I'm like, get the fuck out of my face to my baby.
Yeah.
But I just have these moments where I'm like, okay, I need to put you down because I might hurt you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's really cute. He's like, he's putting it in there, and then I'm like, okay, well, calm down. And then he's kind of fussing. So then I go to mix the rice, and then as I put the seasoning in with the stock and the water and everything, I go, I don't know why, but something in my brain said it would be just my luck if you're not supposed to put the seasoning until, because it makes sense if it's a creamy like it's a creamy rice situation. So of course I pick up the fucking Rice-A-Roni, and then sure enough it says, you know, let it to simmer, and then when the rice is almost done, then you put the seasoning. And I was like, and it took everything in me, and then not to throw everything away and just go, fuck it, we're getting Domino's, you know. So then I just calmed down, found my happy place, until my
wife. More Southwest points in that credit card.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all.
You gotta just change your thinking, be more positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't ruin dinner. I earned more points.
I earned more points. I earned a free chip to get the fuck out of here. And but yeah, so then my poor wife comes in with the news about $200 being put on a credit card that didn't need to be put on a credit card, and you know, that coupled with the fact she sends me an email saying I need another $250 for a fucking Macy's card that just. And here's why I bring all this up, because I feel that anybody who's in a traditional setting, where say it's a guy who, you know, dad comes home from work, and you unintentionally, my wife doesn't sit at work all day trying to think of ways to fuck up my day. She's not trying to shit in my coffee. She's actually just trying to get through her own day. And so it's when your paths cross. Marriage would be great if you had separate wings of your house and you just, you know, could meet together for, you know, conjugal type visits.
Go home and just kind of give each, you know, a person like, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes to take a shower, relax, kind of decompress.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, hey, send them a little text message, you know.
Well, what are you doing?
What are you doing? What's up? You know, maybe, you know, in your case, you send a little dick pic.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah. I wish they'd had a flirty emoticon, you know what I mean? Which, by the way, not to get completely tangential.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're a fan of, I've been getting texts from grown-ass men that have little yellow happy faces. Do you even know how that happens or why? I don't understand. Grown-ass men in their 40s that are like...
Do you have your phone on you?
No, I think I left it downstairs.
I have the droid.
Yeah.
Does it do that? I don't know. Maybe...
It has to be some kind of an app or something, but it's just...
Yeah, maybe it's an app.
I have a friend, Gina, who sends smiley emoticons when she's just asking you a serious question, like, you know, how are your taxes going? And then she sends you this happy face emoticon. Like, have a frog right there.
Yeah. Or that droid
Is that for
thing.
Me?
Yeah.
Or that's cool. You sent that
I wrote,
to me.
Cool, on my way.
I didn't get that on my phone, but you have a little frog? Or that's the droid. Get it.
Okay.
It's the droid logo.
Well, that's not as embarrassing because I'm seeing it going.
I didn't get it on my end.
Oh,
so you know.
Oh, that's good.
I probably got the parenthetical and the colon and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody has worked it out on the iPhone to send me like.
Where grown men are getting.
Grown men.
And they're doing it on Twitter, too, by the way. I'm on.
Yeah.
I
tweet,
At Justin Worsham.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to look me up, it's at Darren Carter, D-A-R-R-E-N, at Darren Carter. I noticed that some people are putting these little symbols in there, like you know, happy 4th of July. And there'll be like all these flags and fireworks. And you're right. It's weird. It's one thing if you're a girl and you're like, kittens, and I'm 19, I'm in college. But when you're like 40 something year old man. It's like,
well, part of me makes me think that it's not intentional, but I want to know if it is intentional.
Yeah.
But to get back to my previous point, sorry, I got tangential there. But
so you guys just need a little space. So you're stressed. They're stressed.
Yes.
They're in traffic. They're parking. They come up the stairs. Boom! You guys see each other, and you're like, the fucking rice is boiling over, and there's seasonings and.
And she comes, and then she opens up this thing, and I start saying, I go, see, you just fucking open accounts however you want, you know, and I get all angry about that. And here's why I bring it all up is that if you are the guy. right? There's two, obviously two sides of this relationship because we outlawed that whole gay thing. Thank God.
You know what? I just thought of one more thing that would really piss you off. Like, so tomorrow around the same time, 5 o'clock, you find out what she bought from Macy's. And one of the things she bought would be a cookbook.
For me?
You'd just be like, really? Really?
No. If Natalie bought me a cookbook, it would be the greatest fucking gag gift in the world. Because anybody who has ever come into my house and eaten a meal that I have prepared, they know that there is someone who cooks in this family, and it is me. I handle it. I throw down with an apron on.
I remember I came here a couple months ago, and you added like a little snack. What was that you made? I think you sliced up some apples.
Okay.
And there was some sort of cheese.
Gouda cheese.
Yeah. It was like, wow, this is like...
Gouda or Parmesan is what I usually like to eat with an apple. A nice Fuji apple, a sweet, and then a real like strong tasting cheese is good because the sweet breaks up with the cheese.
Fancy, man.
Probably threw a little salami in there.
It was like, this is good.
Yeah.
So you're definitely a good cook.
I don't know why. So for her to give me a cookbook would be laughing. Then I would be like, oh, that's funny. Very good. I, however, have purchased her a cookbook, which any husband listening to the show just went, oh, shit. But like it got even worse. You know, like you don't just get her the greatest 1,000 recipes of an American kitchen or not like that. Yeah. I got her literally the beginner's guide to cooking, like to learn how to boil an egg, how to season meat, like all that stuff. Yeah. Because nothing against her.
Has she taken an interest in it or not really?
No. Well, here's the thing. In her defense,
YouTube videos. Get her into some YouTube videos. Like, oh my God, look at this! This is awesome. And
when we first moved in together, she knew nothing, absolutely nothing.
She couldn't even find the kitchen. You're saying,
right? Yeah. She was like, "What is this room for?
Is that where we store our bank papers in the oven?"
And it's funny how everybody brings their own home programming into a relationship. So that first time that you live together is where a lot of the fighting happens because you have your way that you grew up that makes perfect sense to you.
Yeah. I found out that I grew up the wrong way.
Right? I think
which I really did.
You know?
I really did.
Like you were doing like stuff and then your wife would come in and be like, no, that's not the right way to do it. And you'd be like, okay.
Oh, really? Like, you mean you're not supposed to open up the Fresno Bee newspaper and use it as a table mat? Like we would literally put newspapers all across the table. Like that was our tablecloth, you know? And then I used to be very like, keep your elbows off. Oh, is it impolite? Yeah, because you'll get ink on your elbows.
Not because of any rules.
Yeah. We're going to use the business page because we don't give a crap about business.
Nobody cares about that.
No,
so.
Don't use the funny papers, though. Your elbows are like silly putty. Like, oh, let me. I'm looking at my sisters. I want to read how that Charlie Brown cartoon turns out. Can I see your elbow? But yeah, that was one of the things. That was one of the things.
I like that your house is like a fish and chips place. This is great.
Yeah. We did that. There was we didn't have peanut shells on the floor, but. I did grow up with animals in the house, which is,
really?
I'm not really into cats and dogs in the house. I mean, I understand dogs are really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I've slept, you know, I remember I'd go to my grandpa's house and there's something comforting about having a dog at the foot of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is a little, you know, and the cats, I mean, we used to have cats this is kind of gross, right?
Like ready.
Unless you're a cat person and you're listening to this, but if you're not a cat person and I'm not a cat person anymore, maybe when I was a kid, I didn't really know any better.
Maybe this is why you're not a cat person.
And then you think about like, cats jumping up on your counter and running around, and we were like 3 or 4 of them up there, and it's kind of gross, you know?
Because they were just burying their shit.
Yeah,
is what you're getting at, right?
Yeah,
and their ammonia stenchy urine. Mm-hmm.
I remember
all with
being
their
really turned off by cats when I had roommates. I went to college, and I had roommates, and I remember like you couldn't leave a sandwich, and this is before our remote control didn't work. You couldn't just get up and go change the channel because you turn around and the cat would have its face on your sandwich, and it's just like not even your
sniffing,
cat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. And then so I remember the first time I lived with no cats or dogs in the house, I was like, this is great.
This
is
awesome.
I can leave some food uncovered and go do something, and it's going to be okay.
You know what that makes me think of is that people either come down on either side of the fence of cats or dogs. They always, I think, have that same opinion. So if you're a dog person, you think of they're burying their shit and their piss, and then they're walking all over your furniture, and then they literally work it into, like anybody who's grown up with a cat, they do that kneading thing into
When I was a kid, I didn't know any better. I didn't care. I'd lay on my back or my stomach and be like, come on, Morris, give me a massage.
Nice. It's affection. If you're a dog or if you're a cat person, you look at these people that literally do a French kiss with their dog. Like they let the dog lick inside their mouth. Like I've never looked for it, but if my dog ever licked inside my mouth, it always made it was almost like it felt like you ate a penny or something, like it tingled inside.
And I used to have a manager that would, you know, I had many managers, so I'm not really telling any tales out of school. One time we went to a meeting and I remember she had a black sweater on and it was covered with cat hair. Yes. And she already came across a little crazy. So when it was like, okay, crazy cat lady has cat hair. And she was like, I think it's a wonderful idea. I was like, oh boy. Like, yeah, well, there goes that deal.
Yeah, fish are the way to go. That's why I'm a fan of fish.
They're nice. They're in the aquarium.
Yeah.
Or the iPad. You know.
Exactly.
Virtual
fish. Have a koi pond. Because I did see, Jacob saw a koi pond that, like, we were out walking around and somebody had a nice, beautiful koi pond in their front yard. And it was kind of fenced in their front yard. Sweet. And you see these huge, like, 3-foot, just majestic looking goldfish, you know, in their front. And I was like, wow, that'd be cool. But then I'm sure that would be my luck that a condor or a cat would come and like, pull out my $70 fish that I have in my front yard. But what was I saying? There was something I was saying before I got onto the fish. I don't know. Must have been irrelevant.
I don't know what it was. I said, when you grow up, you learn a set of rules or a set of living.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. So Natalie's way of doing things when we first moved in together, man, you're very good. Thank you, sir. Was that she would go grocery shopping before every meal. So you would come home at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then you would go grocery shopping for whatever you were going to have for dinner that night. Now, my mom, I was ignorant to it other than what I saw, but it's like, my mom would always just prepare meals. Like, this is what sucks to have me as a husband, is that I kind of had the little bit of ignorance to how things happen, and also the ignorant expectation that things just magically get cleaned and you don't know what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I quickly learned was, I'm like, I don't think this is right. Like, it costs us a lot of money because there's leftovers were never eaten when Natalie and I first moved in together, where I later found out that my mom would cook a whole meal and then the leftovers she would take with her to lunch. She would eat all the leftovers the next day or even the day after that. So sometimes we would have leftovers if it was too much, but the food never went to waste. Whereas Natalie's parents will just stock, like just shove every inch of every level of a fridge is cram packed full of crap until it rots, and then they throw it away. Mm. They've
done that move.
Yeah,
you learn not to do that, because there's nothing worse than taking heavy cold garbage.
Yes,
where you're walking and you're making that walk, and you're just like, it's all cold and it's heavy. And you're
all
like,
I think about is just like, I just feel like a heavy bag of money that I'm just throwing away. That's what I think of every time. And my father-in-law, it actually bothers him, but he's learned through years of erosion, he's learned to just kind of go like that, which is a very husband thing to do. Like,
here was a joke idea when I first, when I first started comedy. I go, "Yeah, we had Captain Crunch. It was so old. He was a private."
So through now we've learned that I have a very specific way of doing everything.
I just want to say this is so true. Like someone, whoever takes care of the house, it is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife, she cooks, she cleans, she does everything. It's like she, bathes our son and reads him stories and takes him to his taekwondo and takes him around. And there's, I know people do it, single parents, but it's got to be difficult when when it's two people that really do give a shit, it's hard, man. I mean, it is hard work.
Yeah. This is a weird inclination, because I had a single mom come up to me while I was in Indy last week, and she goes, "I have two kids." And she was such a nice lady, and her friends were taking her out, and she's like, "I have two kids. I'm a single mom." She goes, "I'm a single mom." And I was like, man, I wanted to just hug her. Mm-hmm. And it was, I wish that I looked like Matthew McConaughey in that moment. You see, like, not that I was...
I wish you looked like him in this moment. No. Maybe Bill wouldn't have left you, Justin.
Yeah, right? If I was a little easier on the eyes, it should have worked out.
All right.
You got to keep each other interested, even in guy-on-guy relationships. But I had this moment where I was like, I wish I was this, I could just come in and just give her a crazy, this is going to sound super creepy, but I had this thought where I'm like, I would love to give her just a crazy night of passion or a spa type situation as a guy. But I didn't have this urge where I want to fuck. It wasn't for me. Like, I was like, I wish I could, like, Wonder Twin powers activate.
You know your wife might hear this, right?
She knows. Okay, she gets me. She knows.
You know, dear, I just wanted to do something for the community of Indianapolis.
It is, Yeah, it is a rough sell. It's like, I just really wanted to take a bullet for the team.
And put my penis in
and
there,
I wiggle it around. I wanted to bone this mid-20s hot single mom from Indianapolis. corn-fed, fake tan, rocking the highlights. So she was done up from the floor up. I mean, she was locked and loaded. So it's just, but evidently, nobody was stepping up to the plate. So that's where I come in.
At least it's Matthew McConaughey, not some old reference like, I just want to be Fabio.
Well, to me, it's
my
funny.
My hair's blowing in the
because I did think Fabio, but I was like, no, that's creepy. Fabio, because Fabio is like, I don't know why. Like, I don't think any girl now wants Fabio. You know what I mean? Like, he's run his course. We haven't heard from him, not since that flamingo hit him in the face.
Ooh, you're right.
Yeah, or was it a seagull?
No, a bird. It was a bird, and it
on a roller coaster.
It was on a roller coaster, and that long hair, and it was all tangled, and the bird was like, oh, look, a bird's nest. And that's how they created Angry Birds. But, no, seriously, like, this lady, she was a single mom, and she really connected with, like, wow, it's hard work, and I have two kids, and I'm single.
Well, and you could just, like, I know what it's like to have two of us, like what you were saying, of us, where one of us is taking care of the house, the other one is paying the bills and everything like that. To be that person who has to do both, I just couldn't imagine. Every time I hear somebody, whether it's a dad or a mom, I guess what I'm saying is I want to make sweet, sweet love to them and make it all about them. Like, I don't care if I don't orgasm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just want to take care of him. Right. He can enter me from behind. Am I making this better? Is it getting worse?
No. I like where you're going with this podcast.
All right, this is great.
This is good. This is great.
That was moment of the week.
No, I know you're saying you really want to, you feel
I feel for them. Because, and here's why, like what you were saying. Because
someone, in your relationship, someone can take the load off and you can
walk. She walks in the door, as much as I try, because this is what I've realized, and I think we all realize this, and that you go through these peaks and valleys of taking it for granted.
Yeah.
Now, where it's like, this is great because you're actually on the other end. You're the breadwinner. You know what I mean? You have a great wife who takes care of the kid all day, takes care of the house, does the laundry, is a great cook. I've heard you, even when we're on the road, like you've missed your wife's cooking.
We'll
be eating at a Panera or something like that somewhere. You'd be like, oh, Jeannie made this great thing with olive oil and peppers, and that was like this nice salad. I was like, oh my gosh.
Can I just say real quick about her? She loves watching Chopped and some of these reality TV shows where there's competitions, and then she'll.
Chopped is in like cooking shows.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was a motorcycle show. That's why I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah. She loves watching.
It's funny because she would be chopping peppers in my mind and going, did you hear what Pauly Sr. was doing today? He was kind of an asshole. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought he was going to win Celebrity Apprentice, but no. She'll watch the reality shows about cooking, and then sometimes she'll like, I should try that. And then she'll go out and try one of the little tricks and stuff. And I'll be eating. I'm like, this is so good. Like, what's the latest one we did? This is like a little sneaky chef kind of thing. Like, I was eating some avocado, and it was really good. Like the guacamole dip, And then I looked, and apparently you can put little green peas in there. So it's even more nutrition, and you don't even taste it. And it just, and if you smash it up good.
So she did like Jerry Seinfeld's wife on you. Like,
right. What's the deal with these peas?
She put a little vitamin B in your guacamole.
I was cool with it because if I wouldn't, imagine Jerry Seinfeld being angry. I'm like, bitch, peas. but it was really good. That's probably not even a good example. But
no, it's a great example. Like, she's making a thing that is delicious and without affecting the flavor of it, she's making it healthier.
Oh, what was the thing the other day? We made the breakfast tacos and it's just with just egg whites, salsa, some seasonings, and then I want to say that she added spinach, and at first I was like, spinach, and she's like, don't worry about it. And then when you heat spinach up, it shrinks down, and it actually was really good.
Yeah,
it
wilts a little. Yeah,
it wilts, and you feel like, wow, I just ate something healthy.
Yeah,
even though it's breakfast tacos, it's still
well. And the nice thing about spinach is that whatever you season it, like whatever it's around, it absorbs that. That's what I've heard.
I learned a trick from you to take some blueberries and put them in Cheerios.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm on a big yogurt kick. That's what daddy's doing right now.
Aphidophilus.
Yeah. So anyway, my point is that I think, because here's the thing. You're appreciated. Like, obviously, you just went off on this rant about how much you enjoy all the different meals that she makes and stuff like that. Now, so what has to be remembered, though, too, is that I don't know that this has happened in your relationship, but I would imagine that there's at some point been a moment where she's like, what the fuck do you do all day? She's had a rough day. Right. And then you, especially in our line of work, where it's like, well, you kind of talk.
Thought about what you guys said. You guys used to say, like, whoever's left home back in L.A. and then the other person's out there performing or doing, what do you guys guys just eating salmon every day? Yeah, and I sometimes will eat salmon and think of that.
Yeah,
and,
right. You're like, yeah. Living the dream.
Living the dream eating salmon. It's on the house. The club pays for it.
Yeah. I think about that every time I wake up and I look over at the alarm clock in the hotel and it says 10 a.m. I'm like, I'm a fucking piece of shit. Because Natalie's been up all night. So my point is, though, each of you have your own little perspective. And I guess I'm throwing it out there as a reminder in case you've already in that moment of taking advantage. I don't think I'm blowing anybody's mind here, obviously, but that idea where it's like, if you're the breadwinner, like in your situation, Darren, where it's like, it would be nice to come home and have her go, I made this delicious meal and I just want to say thank you for, you know, taking care of us or whatever. Or if you're having a rough go, have a little bit of sensitivity to that. And I think on the same end, like, you have to be aware of what she does all day and be sensitive to that.
That's always a good reminder. Those are always good reminders, because sometimes you're right. We take things for advantage. We're coming up from the. The car. You walk up to the front door, and maybe you just heard a great song. And you're thinking of the great song, and you just want to open up the door and be like, hey, you know, whatever that song is, we will rock you, dun dunk, dun dunk. You know, and that person maybe what you just said, the pot boiled over, and they're stressed out,
rice is ruined. They think.
And then here comes Mr. Happy, you know, or whatever, or maybe in your case, the lady, you know, your wife comes in and she's like, you know, whistling her latest, you know, song that she's into, Lady Gaga or something or whatever, and
you're like, oh, do you have a good day? Is that what you did? You sat in front of your computer? Because I've had that where it's like I'm trying to cook dinner so it's ready when she walks in the door, but then she stays late for work, and God forbid I'm like, thank you for working hard and helping me pay bills. I'm like, oh well, I guess the meatloaf's gonna be dry. I guess that's what we have to deal with. I guess your mahi mahi is extra blackened, bitch. Which I've gotten better at, but there was a long time where it would really bother me, and it's I don't know, it's silliness. That's what it is. We're going to do something else here. I hope you don't mind. If you have one, you can go ahead and jump in. But I've ignored this now for 2 weeks in a row.
By the way, can I plug? I also have a podcast, and you've been on it, and we're going to have you back. It's called The Dick and Darren Show.
It's a great show. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, go to iTunes, Dick and Darren, or go to dickpodcast.com. And we have 159 episodes up right now.
Nice.
It's really cool.
With great comics. Like, you had Eric Estrada on at one point.
Yeah, the original guy from Chips. We had Dom Irrera. He's been on the show. We've had Dwayne Perkins, of course. Dan Gabriel, funny. You've been on. A lot of great, funny dudes.
Here's what I want to do. We have, I don't know if you've already heard us do this, but we do a poop horror story of the week. So this is one that was sent in to us.
The music.
I like to play classical music while we talk about this horrendous shit situation. So if you're inspired and want to share one of your own, I haven't had one in a while, thank God, knock on wood. But this one was actually comes to us from Tiffany, who I just hung out with in Indy. And it says, poop horror story. My daughter had just finished meeting her great-great-grandmother. We were about 3 hours from home.
That's pretty old.
I know, right?
Not a grandmother, not a great-grandmother, but a great.
Yeah, she explained, like, both her parents and then her grandparents had them when they were 20, like, had kids when they were 20, and, like,
Wow.
So, that's kind of like what my family did, so you can actually meet great-grandparents and be around them for a little bit. But anyway, she was eating at the Atlanta Bread Company in St. Louis. I decided to change her before we left for the road trip home. As I'm carrying her to the restroom, I realize her butt is wet. I go, must have peed a lot, right? I look down, and there is green everywhere. Upper back, pants, ugh. She even had poop all over the brace she was wearing for hip dysplasia. Ever gotten poop out of Velcro? You haven't, because it's impossible. So we cleaned her up as much as we could. She was smiling the whole time, by the way, and rode home from St. Louis to Indy with poop stench. We're just going to stick with the one as opposed to two kids. So thank you very much, Tiffany, for your poop horror story. Do you have any poop horror stories?
I don't. Not a horror story, but I have a friend who had a kid, and it was so cute. He said that the kid looked back into the potty and was like, look, I made the letter S.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
We had a similar situation, actually. This is going to ruin Bob's Big Boy for you and your family. The Bob's Big Boy right here in Burbank, my sister came down to visit us with her kids. And this is when Jacob, I think, was maybe a year and a half. Maybe a year old. I don't know. He was very young. And he's eating where everybody's having a good time, you know. And you kind of get that musk. There's a little bit of like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then we look over and... And it looked, he was eating food, like he was eating French fries and everything like that. And mm-hmm. so you just, it looked like some had gotten around on the little high chair thing or whatever. And then all of a sudden I go, wait a minute, that he's not eating anything that color, like, you know, and so, so he'd essentially had a blowout all over the high chair that was there. So we had to go and change him in the trunk. Thank God my wife, because this is early on in parenting for us. Yeah. Moms are so smart about the backup clothes. I would never do that. She had a backup change of clothes always, everywhere we've been. And so she had, we changed him in and everything, and then we had we bleached the crap out of that high chair for the people at Bob's Big Boy because we felt horrible, and then went back in there and finished the meal. But it was intense. That was a yucky one. And the same thing. They just love it. They're so happy sitting there shitting all over the place. So thank you, Tiffany, for your poop horror story of the week. All right. That was fun. That was good times. Let's see. What else can we talk about? I have two things, and I'll let you decide, Darren. I thought it was interesting. I hung out with some people after a show while I was in Indy.
Who's that? By the way, who were you working with out there?
I was working with Claude Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Claude Stewart. Yeah.
So we went out to
a Claude, bar. If you're listening, how are you? Shout out.
Nah, fuck that guy. He's not listening. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, very nice guy. I'm just kidding. But we hung out with, I think it was like a friend of his or a friend of a friend kind of situation. And I thought it was interesting. This chick was getting drunk at a bar. And once you start getting a few drinks into her, she starts talking about how life is hard with her being single because essentially saying she's young, she's attractive. And she's, you know, I think she was in her late 30s is what it later was revealed. But only guys that are 25 are interested in dating her.
Oh,
and the reason I brought this up is because it reminded me, as much as I felt appreciation for the other single mom, this woman is also a single mom, for this off-putting complaint about how hard it is to only have guys that are 25 interested in you. And I have this successful job. I could do any. She goes, I could fucking do my job on a boat if I wanted to. Okay.
Wow.
So it's like this rubbing in the nose of how great things are.
I think they call that on Twitter. They call it a humble brag.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was no humbleness, though, to this.
Oh, really?
There's no humility.
Unless
she finds it humiliating that it's like, I can't find a guy who's my age, I guess. Yeah. Like, and it was just a weird thing to be sitting there going, I'm having a conversation with a chick, and she's going on and on about how hard it is to be so amazing. Like, and I just.
What was that famous quote? Somebody said that there was a man who complained about having no shoes until he saw a man who had no feet.
Oh, I've never heard that, but I like it. Yeah,
this was bring that up next time with her.
Just act like I plan to never see her again.
Oh, if it ever happens and you're hanging around, act like it's a song.
Yeah,
you know, hey, have you guys heard that new song? You know, and then just launch into that song.
My solution was just constantly go, man, must be so rough. Oh, that's all I kept saying. And she was so drunk. I just don't get that. I've talked about it on one of the older episodes, but it's like this idea of going out to a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
I've hung out with multiple listeners after the shows now, which has been absolutely a blast. Like, I'm sure you've had guys come out that are listeners to the podcast. It's nice because it's a weird kind of relationship that happens to people that listen to your podcast is that they are friendly with you, whether they feel this kinship with you.
And we thank them for that.
Right.
Thank them. It's a great thing. Okay, we have this idea. We're going to put a microphone. We're going to express our ideas. And then to actually being able to reach, you know, people email you and come out to your shows and you connect with them. It's a wonderful feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was funny that, you know, but they also have this weird feeling like, I'm going to creep you out or whatever. I'm very friendly. I know that, admittedly. I will probably end up getting chopped up in somebody's backyard in some distant town. I should get a life insurance policy to take care of my
Your
kids.
Friends are like, hey, I got some bath salts. Yeah. You want a party?
We're about to eat you as an hors d'oeuvre, kiddo.
You're going to laugh your face off.
Fill you with creamy cheese rice. Oh,
I'll show you how to cook rice.
But both times that I've gone out with people after the shows was that one time it was this lovely couple that were they offered to like, hey, you guys, you want to go somewhere? I'm like, well, do you want to get a drink? And then I go, I'm not much of a drinker. Like, I'll have a beer every now and then. But I'm like, they're like, well, we're not either. I go, great, let's go to Starbucks. I go, because here's. I kind of made it like I'm taking them out on a date. Like I took the reins and I said.
And they were fans of your podcast.
Yes, that's why they were there at the stand-up show. And I said, I like to talk. I said, so let's go someplace where we could talk. And I don't understand. And I know Adam Carolla's even ranted about this, but he talks about it in airport bars where it's like they have this like Lady Gaga, oopch, 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 and, just crazy loud music playing in an airport bar. And he's like, who wants this? Nobody wants to listen. Everybody's trying to fucking talk. Like,
yeah.
And I just, I like... All it is, you walk into a bar and it's just playing loud as shit and you're just constantly yelling at the other person.
Yep.
And I don't understand how dates can even happen in this venue. How can you meet someone and eventually, other than just drunken stupor, is it just to drown out the stupidity while you're intoxicated?
You know what you got to do is you got to buy a bigger vehicle and be like, you want to go out into the van?
Well, I did that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I took
really?
Well, no, not that, but something very similar. Yeah. In that I had a truck at the time, but there was a girl that I was interested in. Her name was Siobhan. She had just graduated, and we did a musical together, and I had the biggest crush on her. And so when I went to give her, my dad made dubbed the tapes of the musical to give to everybody. Uh-huh. So I held on to hers so that I could deliver it. Everybody else just picked them up at the school, but I'm like, I'll deliver yours,
Siobhan,
by hand. What's up, girl?
What's up, girl?
So I took it to her house, and then I asked her out on a date. And so I thought, this is the first girl I ever asked out on a date. That wasn't like you just kind of hang out and meet, and then next thing you know, you're kissing, that kind of thing. And I took her to Baker Square because I'm a player. And
by the way, I've only been a waiter once, and it was for 3 months, and it was at Baker Square. Was it the one? Because I lived in Campbell, California.
This was in Modesto. Oh, okay. I was still in high school.
Do they still have Baker Squares?
Yeah. I mean, this one was
put them out of business. I don't know.
No, well, maybe now. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I've seen one recently. Somewhere, maybe not out here, obviously. But
side story before we get back to Siobhan, yeah. I gotta say I was a horrible waiter, and it was when I first started being a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And they tried to fire me after the first month, but I held on to that job for 3 months.
I love this story.
I held on to that job for 3 months, and the way that I held on to it was every time the manager goes, she would be like, "Darren, we need to talk," and I would just act like I was in a hurry and I was busy, and I'd be like, "Oh, I'll be right back. Oh, I'll be right back. Okay, I gotta go." And then the next day, "Darren, we need to talk. I really can't talk right now. I'm kind of busy." And then finally, she's like, "Darren, we need to talk." And I go, "Listen, I'm slammed right now." "Darren, we're not even open." Oh, we're not? So,
please tell the story about the Halloween costume. Am I remembering that right?
Oh,
is that the same place?
Is that another server job, or was that Baskin
Robbins?
Same job. For Halloween, they go, "Hey, what are you going to be for Halloween?" And I go, "I'm going to be invisible." and then I thought it would be funny to not show up. Because they're like, "Where were you?"
And that makes me so happy.
Yeah. And I was like, "No, I was invisible. You guys didn't see me." And then eventually, I thought they were gonna think that was funny.
Yeah,
they don't think that's funny. And also, I would do silly things like, they're like, "Darren, we got some special guests coming. You need to set up this banquet table." And I'm like, "Hey, I know, I was raised in a proper home, so I would take the San Jose Mercury News and lay it out as tablecloth.
Business section at the head of the table for the man.
Yeah. Business in the front, party in the back. I call this the mullet paper."
Oh, damn it. I love that. I'm going to be invisible. Yeah. And what's great is that I know you now, after working together and being friends for years, and that it's that you really weren't being a dick. Like, you thought, they're going to laugh at this.
Yeah.
And so I miss a day of work, and it's a little harder, but they're going to be, imagine them at the place going, "Ha ha, that Darren, he's a funny cat."
Yeah, we should go check out his stand-up routines.
He really got us good with this invisible joke. Yeah. You imagine them doing bits of talking to you like, "Hey, Darren, can you drop these salads off?" Ah.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I was talking on the podcast with Dick, from the Dick and Darren show, and Dick said that, he goes, he's from Carrollton, Kentucky, and he goes, "I found oftentimes when people get mad at me or punch me in the mouth, it wasn't me," that's what he said. He goes, "It wasn't me, I wasn't trying to hurt their feelings. I was thought I was being funny."
Yeah.
"But when I was being funny, I was making them mad."
Yeah.
And I'd be like, "Yeah, I could see that, I could see, because haven't we all this will be funny if I say this," and then you zing somebody with something and usually it gets a laugh, and I go, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "Well, I got this scar right here." And I was like, "Scar, what happened?" And he said that he goes, "I don't remember exactly what I said, but we were 16 and one of my friends got a girl pregnant." And I said, "Well, there goes your life." And something like that. And then wham. I go, "He punched you?" And he goes, "Well, no." He goes, "I said it and nobody," and we all laughed and he didn't laugh. And then he thought about it and came back after school. Yeah, and was
hit
like
with a chair.
Hey,
or punched him.
I don't know. He just said that he said it was premeditated.
Yeah,
you know, and he goes, and now
he's stewing,
and now he says, now that he looks back as an adult, it's like, well, duh, you don't, you know, you're 16. Yeah. There goes your life. I guess it's ruined, or
yeah,
you know, and or something like that. He probably said some sort of joke like that.
Well, this it's funny
that guy's probably, you know, speaking of poop stories, he's probably shitting a brick in 16, getting a girl pregnant, and you're like,
yeah, that's I couldn't even imagine. I had a girl try to poke holes in the condoms that I later found out, like,
while you were wearing them.
That was just really? that was just a Wednesday for me when I'm 17. But anyway, so that it's funny because that's a similar thing. I caught her on it. Like, I don't.
Wow.
Now, to be completely honest, yeah. I don't know for sure that it was her intent. It could have been a malfunction, but it was a weird one of those things where
you always said they're tight and your dick can't breathe. I'm just making holes in it.
I was less confrontational than I am now, you know. So it's like I was 17. We were kind of getting ready to fool around, and then she's like, "Oh, give me a second, I got it." And then she excused herself, went into the restroom, and then came back, and then things heated up again.
Yeah,
and then so then I went to go get one because I used to keep them in my bathroom, and I went to go get one, and then I picked it up out of the package, I happened to notice like a shimmer in the middle of it where the foil had been ripped away.
Ooh.
And as I looked closer, I saw a little puncture hole, so I took it out and I ran it under the water, and then of course it had a leak like right in the middle. That's what made me, that was what seemed weird, and so I of course used another one. And then later on I kind of went, hey, wait a minute, what? Because she was a little crazy, that chick. Yeah. But anyway.
And you never asked her about it? Did you?
No, because I think I didn't think of it at that night. I think I later realized.
You're so horny, you're worked up, you're just like, whatever.
I was 16. Condom. Yeah, of course. Yeah. This was also the same. Buckle up, this might be an overshare. In fact, I'm going to steal the poop music for this. She told me at one point in time, she said, Justin, I would like you to take a Dole fruit cup and empty it inside me and then eat it out.
Wow.
Yeah. That's fancy.
How old was this girl?
She was 17.
You guys, wow.
This is what happens when you grow up in the backwoods. You're like, well, I don't know if I can, I can get the peaches and the pears, but I'm going to have to be digging around for some pineapple. But the real thing I need is I need that cherry, baby. I need to make sure it's there. And I know for sure, inside you, 'twas not, Darren. 'Twas not in there.
'Twas not?
'Twas not. 'Twas not. This is the longest freaking violin solo. Yeah. All I want is this. Damn it, that took forever. Anyway, to get to the back to this awkwardness that you wanted, your humor creates. My humor never really created an awkward moment that I can remember.
Siobhan, what were you going to say? Siobhan, did you?
Yeah, this was Siobhan.
But we're going to get to Siobhan, but right now.
No, that's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So I try to help people. I try to do things that I think are nice, and I make people feel uncomfortable. So in this situation,
I've seen you do that real quick. I've seen you. I've seen you. You have a thing you say, and tell the audience. You know where I'm going with this?
No.
Well, I'll tell you this: where they go.
For a second, I did, but then you said to the audience. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, to the audience, where he'll go, like, we'll be at Starbucks or someplace, and he'll say, and they'll go, "Thank you. Have a great day."
Oh yeah.
And then you usually
answer, I say, "Have a better one."
Have a better one. And I was with you one time where somebody looked at you like, what, like it was almost like you fired back with some kind of insult. Like, have a great day. You have a better one, asshole. It seemed like
it comes across. They think that it's a challenge. Like it seems. I mean it to be have a better day than I have. Like it's
have
great.
A great day. You have a better one.
And you can always tell the people that are having a happy day because they always have the reaction like, ha, I like that. You know. But then the people that are kind of they go like they do have that puzzled look of like, what's your fucking deal? Why do I have to try harder? Why you? Because it comes across like I'm assigning them homework. And that's not the intent. But very similar to that.
Here's a little pleasantry thing I picked up. I don't know where I got it, but it's just something I like to throw out now. Like, because a lot of times you'll be at, you know, a lot of in our circles, like with comedy, you're at different clubs throughout the night and, you know, you don't want to go through your whole resume every time. Hey, what have you been up to? How's it going? And you got to like, you just feel like, you know, you don't want to be like that asshole chick that you met where you're like, oh, are you kidding me? It's going fantastic. You know, here's a way you could say this no matter where you're at. Just ask me how it's going.
How's it going, man?
Hey, another night in paradise. And then you just keep talking.
Oh, that's I like that. That's good.
Yeah, it's like another night in paradise, which
everything
it is.
Everything is good.
I got a wife. I'm here.
I've recently found out. I didn't know this. I don't think I did this until recently, but I'm the kind of guy that it's like, how's it going? I will really tell you how it's going, like, which is that's a big mistake. Nobody gives a shit.
If it's a friend, it's good, but I guess.
No,
if it's,
I don't even think friends want to know.
Really?
I mean, at certain moments, you know what I mean? But even friends, like when they call me on the phone, like even my friend Heath will do this. He's like, how are the boys? boys, and I'll fucking tell him. Like, the boys, and what I'm supposed to say, he's Southern. He's being polite. Yeah. What I'm supposed to say is, good, everybody's good. How about you? And then the conversation's supposed to be over. Yeah. But I'm starting to feel like this poor son of a bitch will call me just wanting to go, hey, how do I do this on the computer? Or, hey, what are you available this date? And then it turns into this long conversation.
Oh, yeah, because I think he's single without kids. So, yes. So he's not really, yeah. It's
he different. Yeah, he's, I don't know, maybe I don't know why I lost not, yeah. pleasantries. I don't know, but it happened.
You're on a shuttle for
I don't
airport.
Understand small talk. I just go and go and go.
So but, there I am in the kitchen, hunker down over rice. And they're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, here we go. That's what I imagine everybody talking to me now. Yeah. Okay.
Like, here we go. It is nice, though, when you really do hear, you know, when it is, there should be like a signal where we could, like, I'm asking, how's it going?
Yeah, to and me, it's really not asked. Don't ask me how it's going. If you don't really want to know, just say, I hope you're well. You know what I mean? Or something, I guess, like that. If you ask me, how's it going? Then I'm going to fucking tell you it's going shitty or things are great.
Let's
you know?
Practice. I'll call you.
Okay. Hello. Hello.
Hey. See, I want to say, how's it going?
You want to say, hey, how's it going? But not in the way of actually what it like. You have to. So you're calling me for something else. This is how a conversation would go. Go ahead. Hello.
Hey, Justin. It's Darren.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
It's going all right. I just feel like, I mean, today, to be honest with you, hasn't been a lot of fun with the two boys, and I'm trying to cook dinner for the wife, and so, you know, it's, you know what I mean, where you're trying to cook the, well, maybe you don't know what I mean, but I get, like, what happened was I'm trying to make that creamy rice-a-roni rice, and then I fuck it up, and I don't make it right because Jack's in my ear, you know, the whole time, but... And, you know, Jacob's doing okay. He's doing good. He's going to be starting preschool soon. And so it's just hard, you know, two kids. Harder than I ever would have thought, you know. So how about you? How are things going with you?
You know what, Justin Worsham? I dialed the wrong Justin. Sorry, buddy.
Click. Womp, womp, womp. I've had people do that.
Go ahead.
Well, I've had people do that where they call me and they go, like, they do the thing where they hit the button and they went, oh, I meant to call so-and-so and it's already ringing. And then they have that, they're like, what's up? And then they have a conversation with me because I can't just fucking have a short conversation.
I have a friend that does this. Watch. Make it like half as short and I'll tell you what. And this is my response to him.
Okay. So do the same thing but half short. Hello.
Hey, Justin, what's going on? What have you been up to?
Nothing much. Just trying to, you know, deal with two kids and make dinner all at the same time. Just sometimes fucking sucks, you know, messing up rice. That's my world right now.
Yeah, I read your latest post on Facebook about that. But anyways, hey, are you just regurgitating your own tweets right now? Do you have friends that do that?
No.
I have a friend.
Yeah, I have the opposite where they go, well, have you, before they go into a story, they go, well, have you read my Facebook? I'm like, who does that though? Who really?
You're right. They do that.
Yeah. Like who really sits around looking at, obviously people
scrolling
that don't have kids.
Down people's wall. I know. You're right.
I've cyber stalked friends from high school and stuff just to see, oh, what the fuck is so-and-so up to? But like the idea of constantly following person and. Yeah. And I always feel like an asshole when I talk about it because it's like, listen, I got fucking 1,200 people that are my friends because daddy's got fans, daddy's got family, and daddy's got friends.
And this, we're not trying to do it, you know, what's the one-upping kind of thing. Yeah. But you know, I have...
No, go ahead, one-up me. For a second, I was like, wait, what?
No. Well, it's actually... I know this is another humble brag thing, but it's not. Here's the thing. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook, and I have a fan page, but it's actually really annoying to interact. But not that it's annoying to interact. I would love to interact, but... I can't, and now that Facebook, they cap you at 5,000.
Yes,
so,
on friends.
If
you, on your fan page, you can have as many as you would like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They just look at you, and people are, you know, I'm not going to say lazy. They're going to do what's convenient. Oh, there he is. Click, and then they put a friend request, and then I can't accept it.
So you
then,
look like an asshole because you're like, well, can you go over to my fan page?
Yeah, I was doing that for a while.
Kind of a fan.
I was literally doing that for a while. I put their name in. Hey, Mike, I appreciate the friend request, but can you go over here and, quote, like me and be my fan and worship me and read every post? I mean, so it's kind of, it sounds weird. And also,
because I have 1,200 friends, but I only have 265 likes on my fan page as a comedian.
Yeah.
And most of all 263 are already my friends on Facebook anyway, I think.
Right.
So.
And I was following this mark. That's why I like Twitter, because it's like limitless.
Yes.
And I feel like you can follow the people that.
And still interact with them.
Yes. You can interact, and it's great, you know, and you get your message out there, or you can follow, you know, whatever. I'm not here to sell Twitter. I know.
What are you here to sell?
Well, I will say this, guys, if there's anybody out there, I make a living now pimping MySpace pages.
Oh shit.
So if you need your MySpace page pimped, I make a living from that. I'm also looking to rent a room in someone's house, and
You can, all of this is available at behindthethetimes.com. That's there. Yeah.
I'm really not making much of a living pimping out MySpace pages, so maybe I'll just stay here and do a podcast with you. It's my new home. I really like, I'll live here in
lots of money in it.
Jake's room and Jack's room and Jacob.
Maybe living the dream. Living the dream.
Yeah, I'll throw up the burnt rice for you if you want me to. No.
Thank you.
That'd be awesome. No, on Twitter, you are able to, you know, get your what am I talking about?
You were saying Facebook, that Twitter. You had too many fans, so you can't keep adding them. It won't let you accept them or not. But on Twitter, you could just interact with them, and there's limitless.
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Oh, that's what we were saying, yeah. And so going back to Facebook, so it's like I have the 5,000. So you're right. I have people say, like, I have good friends, and they're like, hey, man, I put a video of of me. Like, so it should interest me. They're like, hey, I saw something of you on YouTube, and I posted that video last night. Did you see it? And I feel like a dick because I'm like, no, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Which video? And then they're like, oh, which video? He didn't.
Yeah, too many.
I know, but it's really, you know.
I had a weird interaction with somebody.
Should we edit this out? I feel like we're complaining about. But it's not.
That's the point of this.
Yeah, but none of this is real. It's not like we're. No, it's not like it's money or anything. It's just like, you know, it's virtual followers. Or
well, here I got it. Well, we even have a. We'll just do a little bit about this. We'll keep complaining because I produced a little segment for it.
And I will say, my buddy, this friend of mine, he's always doing it. He's always like, you know, I won't see him for very long, and it's our buddy David from Northern California.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he literally goes through his Twitter timeline and what's been going on and. I'm like, okay, thank God we got that out of the way. Now what's going on? And then we can actually have a conversation.
Well, we'll do this. This is a...
That BTA bitch giving you the stink eye. The drive-thru just screwed up your order. And your neighbor's Yorkie Terrier doesn't stop fucking barking. That's right. You don't have real problems. It sounds like you have... Suburban Rage.
I love that. Was that the tranny that was trying to be Miss America?
Yes, that was her.
Awesome.
Yeah,
beautiful.
We booked her because she lost her crown and all that stuff. So, yeah. Because I had a similar reaction when I posted that I was going to be playing Jimmy Kimmel in this movie.
Oh, let's do this.
That I put it up there, and then so I had all these people. That, it was crazy for me. Yeah. I mean, you with you've reached your cap. It's a different thing. Where for me, I was like, I posted up there, and then all of a sudden, people are like, so sweet.
They pop up out of the woodwork, right?
Yeah, they're like, hey, good job, congrats, yeah. And I was like, within minutes, I was like, holy shit, like. And
did you get a little mad where you're like, what, you guys couldn't fucking comment on any of these podcasts I keep promoting every week? Oh, it's a great show. There's not one like.
I'd be lying if that thought didn't enter my mind. It wouldn't be fair, and I'm not backpedaling. I'm completely honest. Wouldn't be fair for me to be angry.
You're calling Natalie at work. Hey, listen, can you like me on my new podcast?
It would actually be.
One thumbs up, please.
Really what it is it makes me think, I'm like, man, maybe my podcast isn't that good. Like, maybe there are people listening to it and like, this fucking sucks. Like, that's what really goes into my mind. So it's not. Yeah. It's not anger, but it is. I do react to it. But so everybody's put, and then I have this friend who puts this funny thing where it's like, has anybody noticed that, you know, he posted this up there, but he hasn't responded to any of our comments? Like, Justin's already too big or whatever.
It was almost like he was saying that you were basically doing a virtual drive-by, look at me.
Humble brag. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Which was funny. And so I did a bit where I'm like, you know what, asshole. I called him an asshole.
You wrote this.
Yeah, I wrote it on Facebook. I'm like, I don't know how you found out about me. Now, he's a friend of mine that I've known in comedy sports for a decade. Like, it's like, I go off on this thing where I'm like, I don't know where it is you found me, but I have friends. I let fans be my friend on Facebook so that I can interact with them, but under the understanding that there isn't any of this bullshit allowed, because I have family that are also and friends that are on this, you know, website here and
all
everything.
Caps, you're writing the little people. But it's really weird. It's all caps.
Well, and I didn't blow it up enough. This is an example of how I made them feel uncomfortable. And then in parentheticals, I put, by the way, I know Costa. He's a very handsome, talented, funny guy. We play comedy sports forever, thinking that explained my bit.
He probably didn't even get that far in your post.
No, he read it. And then what he took it as, I talked to him via text afterwards because I felt like a shit whistle. I said, his response was, you're right, I'm just jealous. I'm sorry, is what he put. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, I thought we could.
He texted that or put that on
Facebook? No, he put it on the Facebook page. And so I go, hey, I sent him a text. Like, I go, I'm not mad. I go, and everything. And then we talked via text. Where he's like, well, I didn't realize you had fans on there, and that was kind of a fucked up thing to put. I go, no, no, it was funny. I didn't yeah. care. Like, it was. And so that pissed me off about, like, an interaction on Facebook.
And then, like, you're, like, texting him, like, hey, I know that you apologize. Can you take this over to Facebook? Can you just... I mean, I'll copy and paste it if you want. And just, can I get your login real quick?
I can fill it in for the public.
So my people know that it's cool.
Yeah, I can fill it in for you. But to get back to, all the way back to my Siobhan story, so I don't leave that hanging, is that this is another example of me trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And so I take her to Baker Square, which obviously is a restaurant for old people.
I'm thinking you say Bakersfield. So I take it to Baker
It might
Field.
As well have been because these people were around when oil was made, and I didn't know it because it was a new restaurant to Modesto. So it's the equivalent of a 16-year-old guy going, I'm going to take her to the hottest thing in Modesto, which was Baker Square, which was only for people like geriatrics and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're there eating dinner, and I go, I got to be honest, I didn't know anything about this restaurant. And you could tell that it was a relief for her. She's like, yeah, I was kind of I thought it was kind of weird why you wanted to come here, but I thought maybe you just like this place or something. I'm like, well, the food doesn't seem too bad, but I didn't know it was for old people. So I apologize. I'm an idiot.
Chicken pot pie and pudding.
Yeah. The pre-blended. Yeah. And the whole menu is a senior menu.
It's an early bird special. You and your date. You guys are like 15 with tuxedos. Honey, have some of this prune juice.
Well, then I thought,
why do restaurants do that? I don't mean to get sidetracked.
No.
But there's certain restaurants, like certain ones appeal, like Chili's, Applebee's.
Yeah, I don't know why about Baker. What it is about Baker Square?
And Mimi's Cafe is like that, which I love. Mimi's Cafe.
Mimi's is great.
Isn't it great? And I looked. Yes. I was at one recently, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of older people here, which is.
It has to. You know? I think, I don't know. Maybe I'm bagging on old people, but I think it has to do with price. You think? Because Mimi's has a fairly priced, nice breakfast. Like, it's really good food that is fairly priced. I mean, you could go nuts.
It's higher than Denny's, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But so I feel like maybe it's a more established. Maybe it's where the upper class old people go to save money.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's the upper class Denny's is Mimi's Cafe. Whereas, like, you know, young bucks such as ourselves, we go in there going, now we're living. We're living it up. I'm going to have some fucking pumpkin pancakes
because
I'm a king of my castle, bitches.
I'm going to get a salad. And a soup, and then they bring in the muffins.
The muffins are
fucking amazing. Did you want curd raisin? Did you want blueberry?
Oh, that spice one, the buttermilk spice, is just, it makes me want to eat somebody.
By the way, real quick, I went to Toby Keith's Bar and Grill in Ontario.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You got to go there. It's awesome if you love to eat.
I feel like I could only go with you because I will not enjoy it if I'm not with you, to be honest.
Oh, you'll be like, oh, Darren would have wanted it this way. Yeah. We'll have to go out there together.
I'm just not as big a Toby Keith fan as you. I would be there constantly wanting to know what you would be doing there. That's what it would be. <It's> like,
yeah.
So the next time we have a show out there or something,
we'll go. It's great, man. I had ribs and it's just so delicious.
Because I got to be honest, it wasn't a judgment in any way, shape, or form. But we stopped off at this mall on the way to do a casino gig or whatever, and
that's where it is.
Yeah, we talked to the manager there, and you came up and like, so when is it going to open? Because we'd read online. I'm like, wow, he knows his shit.
Y'all on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you see my posts?
And it was a weird kind of fan moment to watch where I was like. And the guy was very nice. He was very funny.
I don't even think he works there. I think he was just there for like a 2-week thing. I didn't see him there.
Well, he opens them. Like, he works for the corporation that handles the franchises.
Remember that funny thing he said?
Yeah. He's like, well, I can't even remember where it's like,
oh, you guys got to come here and you'd go. And he goes, you guys would love it, man. You guys married? Y'all married?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be pretty girls.
Yeah, there's going to be hot chicks. We're both married.
Yeah, and he was trying to sell the whole nightlife there with like the pretty girls and meanwhile, I'm like, no. Me and my wife and my son, we've been to Toby Keith concerts. We go there.
Two family dudes.
Yeah. And so he's like, are you married? And we're like, I'm married. You're married. And then remember what he said?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't remember what he said?
No, I know he said something about having a girlfriend. Yeah. I remember that part of it, but I don't remember. It was a great joke.
He goes like this. He goes, we're like, yeah, we're both married, man. And then I think one of us goes, are you married? And he goes, I'm not. But my wife is.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he told us a bunch of dirty dick jokes.
And he just got loose. Like the whole corporate thing just washed away from him.
Oh, by the way, I heard a good street joke recently. The guy goes, my wife's mad at me, man, for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I go, what happened? He goes, buy me something that'll make me look sexy. So I bought her a treadmill. Yeah. Is that a good one?
That's great.
That's good.
I love it. Yeah. So to get back to the Siobhan story, we go there, we go to Baker Square, and what I thought was, I go, we'll go to a movie, like do the dinner and a movie, the typical date. But what I'm going to do to put my little spin on it, is I'm going to take her to a drive-in movie. Now, not because I want to get to second base on the first date, but because then we can talk without being rude to the other movie patrons. Because I like to talk. I feel like a date is a chance to get to know each other. Why would you spend 3 hours?
Yeah, you want to talk during a movie. Her name is Siobhan.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I want to, you know what I mean? She could play the skin flute if she so desires. I wasn't trying. But it was great because I had nothing but the most innocent of intentions. Yeah. We pull up. She goes, are we going to the drive-in? And I was like, yeah. I thought this would be
was
nice.
After the meal?
Yeah.
You didn't do that Thanksgiving unbuckle the first button thing, did you?
Oh, shit.
Maybe that's what it was.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was
sad as hell. I ate a lot. And she looks down. You're like, you've just popped open the first. No, I'm just because I ate a lot. Like, it's all innocent. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I let one nut out to breathe because I wore tidy whities in. You know what I mean? Just to know, let her know what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everybody knows the proportion of nuts to shaft situation. But anyway. So we could pull in. She's like, oh, and I go, and I got this weird vibe. I go, is that weird? I go, I wasn't. And then I'm an overly honest dude. You know, I go, I'm not trying to make out with you, which is equally insulting, even though I don't mean it to be. I go, I just thought we could talk during the movie. I swear. And she's like, oh, like
our hands.
Yeah, exactly.
With our hands.
The language of love.
You have a good day. You have a better one.
Bitch. So anyway, like, and then the movie comes and I just put both my hands behind my head. Like, whenever you're ready.
Suck it. You're like, you want some popcorn? Because my penis is in the bottom of this box.
So then
what
she gets.
Movie? You have any idea what movie it was?
Oh shit, no. This would have been in 1995.
Oh wow, because it wasn't Titanic. Gosh, what was it? 95? Sleepless in Seattle or something like that.
I'm gonna Google that while I'm telling the story. So what's funny is that I bail.
So you guys ended up not going to the drive-thru.
We did not go to the drive-thru because I made her feel.
But drive-thru movies were a big thing in Modesto. I remember American Graffiti, the whole cruising thing. And
well, then we had one of the only ones in Northern California still working. And we used to go all the time when I was a kid, and I loved it. That was the only reason I knew it was there. Yeah. And it was a great way to watch a movie because you could laugh and talk about what you just saw without interrupting anybody. Like, you didn't fuck anybody up, which I always thought was great.
It's fun. Happy Days. You know, they always show drive-in movies on Happy Days, which I've been watching a lot lately. You know, we taught our son the days of the week through Happy Days, going on YouTube.
Oh, really?
And also, I think it's on, is it the Hub Network? Because if you know the song, it goes Sunday, Monday.
Yes.
Happy days.
Tuesday, Wednesday. And me being a redheaded, an orange American. It's funny. Like, so now my kid thinks he's Fonzie, right? And for a while there, he did. And I'd be like, it was so cute. I go, Austin, who are you? He goes, I'm Fonzie. And I go, oh, cool. Who am I? Am I Big Fonzie? And he's like, no, you're Ralph Mouth. I
was like, aw. Yeah. Let's see what it says here. There's some kind of Entertainment Weekly or either Premiere Magazine.
So 1995. You didn't take her to see Philadelphia, did you?
No, the most anticipated blockbuster movies of 1995. It looks like Apollo 13. There's Tom Hanks there.
You're like, boy, my rock. I'd like to go to Uranus.
the Val Kilmer Batman.
Check out my bat pole. By the way, Casper. Did you see that real quick? DC made a gay.
Yes.
Cartoon.
Green Lantern is going to be gay now.
Which now, see, there's my suburban rage. I'm just curious. Not really mad, but I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do I take my Green Lantern t-shirt out of the closet?
Yes.
Okay.
And put it on.
And put it on? Hey, you know what's funny? If you Google, I don't know maybe later, but Google Green Lantern tattoo.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people were looking this up, apparently.
Oh, really?
After they made that announcement. People were looking up. Green Lantern tattoo removal.
You know what I think it was? I think it was Waterworld is what it looks like. I'm just now seeing that they do have like a whole countdown. So the number one is Pocahontas. Number two, Batman Forever.
Everything is horny, man.
Apollo 13, Casper. Oh, Die Hard with a Vengeance. It probably could have been that one.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Crimson Tide. That's if she was having her lady visitor. Bridges of Madison County. Waterworld, Congo, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, First Night. It could have been that one. I want to say 9 months.
You watch Judge a lot of movies. Dredd. You've probably seen a lot of these movies.
Oh, I've seen them all so far. Fair Game, Free Willy 2.
Oh my gosh, Justin.
And then
did you take her
princess.
To see Free Willy?
I did. Now, and the Indian in the cupboard. Hello.
Hello.
Don't forget, he's not scalped. Johnny Mnemonic was number 20. So yeah, I want to say, I feel like... Yeah, I want to say it was Waterworld or Die Hard with a Vengeance, one of those. But anyway, so then what we do instead, this is what I think was an unintentional not fix of it, is we go driving around in the country and I make a comment in the middle, and this will button up the story.
I don't run out of gas.
I make a comment to her. I go, I just kind of chuckle to myself. And she goes, what's so funny? I go, well, it's just funny you didn't want to go to the drive-in because it made you feel like I was trying to put the moves on you. Mm-hmm. I said, but now we're out in the middle of the country where if like everyone wanted to just take you by force, there would be nobody here to stop.
You said that?
I said that. I was an idiot. I was 16. Oh, I was 16 God. And nervous.
And thinking logically.
Right. I mean, come on. That's I was like, it's
I
just
mean,
goofy.
Logically, when I say logically, you're thinking like, this is something that possibly could happen if I wasn't me.
Right, exactly.
If it was a bad guy.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's and so again,
but maybe
she got
was like, you know,
but we still dated for a long time.
Oh, see, maybe she was like, well, there's a lot of witnesses to this drive-through thing, and I kind of do want to get frisky and fresh with them. And
yeah, maybe she really didn't want word to spread because I was younger than her. Maybe she didn't want to be seen. That was why we broke up. Is that we were hanging out at the mall, and I put my hand on her back just to kind of rub her, and she cringed.
Why?
Because she didn't like public display of affection, and a 16-year-old Justin was too insecure to handle that. Oh, I thought that she was ashamed of me, and so that's why we kind of
that is a weird thing
broke it
when,
off.
A weird thing when I think that when women, you know, don't want public displays of because it hurts your feelings, right?
Right, that's exactly. Yeah. Yeah, imagine being 16 and this girl who's older and she was beautiful. She was perfect.
Yeah,
like she was the first girlfriend that I had that I honestly thought I'm like I'm gonna marry this chick. Mm-hmm. Like I go and that was when I kind of it's weird. I know people are listening going you were 16 dumbass, but again remember I married the last girlfriend I had in high school. Yeah. That's where my head was then. I was locked in. I wasn't looking to fuck around. I was looking to find somebody to spend the rest of my life with. And I had some fucked up girlfriends initially. And then I had like boom, boom, boom. The two right before Natalie were two chicks that I'm like, oh, yeah, I could spend the rest of my life with these two chicks. And then it just for whatever reason didn't match up. Like it didn't work out. Wasn't
Garth Brooks has a song about that, right? Where he thinks I forget how it goes, but something basically where there's this girl that he. You know, but it didn't work
Unanswered
out.
Prayers.
Unanswered Prayers.
Yeah, yeah it's a good song. All of his songs. I love his songs.
Yeah.
So we did it. That's
so
our
that's
show.
An unanswered Man. Prayer. You know?
That's that was quick, Darren. That was time flies when you have a friend. I realize that you and I goof around like this all the time, and now we already did it. So you want to wrap up with a moment of the week? Do you like that plan?
Oh, moment of the week. Wow.
Yeah. You can think about it because I got mine, and then I have another because I had time. In Indy, so I have another production of an intro. I'm very happy about it.
That's great. But I have to say, though.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I love your moments of the week. When you guys would do that, I was like, oh, it's a great moment, or that was a good moment. And of course, I'm sure the listeners would do this, as would I, where you think, like, wow, what was my moment? And then you have a moment. And it's kind of funny now that I'm put on the spot, I'm like, I don't know what my moment is. But I do.
You notice it when it happens.
Yeah.
Is
what
you're saying. Yeah.
But I do have a moment, but you go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me play this. This is our.
I'm going to bury you with my moment.
Shit.
It's competitive moments.
And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moment of the week is going to be from Jacob First. And we had this really great thing where I was coming off from the road, and I think I had to leave right away. Like, you know how you have those weeks where you come home on a Monday, and then you have to leave again on Wednesday?
Yeah.
And it sucks ass. And so Natalie's job is putting the kids to sleep. Like, that's kind of her role. She does that all the time. And it works out because it gives me some time to myself. And then it's also she hasn't been with them all day. She likes to kind of have that reconnection or whatever. And so... for whatever reason, we both ended up reading a story to him in his bed, laying down, and then I ended up cuddling with him. And I guess he talked about how much he enjoyed that cuteness of being there, even though Jack wasn't involved because he's a flesh slug and was already asleep. But it's just like one of those moments where it's like you feel like, oh, that this is a family. Like, and it felt amazingly good, and it kind of made me realize, you know, maybe I need to focus on turning the TV off a little bit more often, you know, that kind of thing. So... and then with Jack,
I thought you were gonna say like as a joke, like you know maybe I need to stop you know looking up old flames on Facebook, you know,
stop reminiscing about the days of Siobhan that could have been
spending 4 hours a night, you know, at the old Baker Square. Whatever happened at Baker Square? Just going down that rabbit hole, just googling. You know, like,
that's hilarious. And then with Jack, it was really cute. We were playing, and he would do this thing where. He was playing around in the living room, and Jacob was playing. We're all playing, me and the two boys. Natalie was at work, and he was wide awake. He wasn't tired, but he would just crawl up to me, and then he would like go, ha ha, like he was excited. Like he was, I think him and his brother were playing like chase, like they'll chase each other, even though Jack can barely move. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, he comes and I'm base. And then he would like put his head like down on me and go and close his eyes. It was so sweet and so adorable. He just put his hand on my leg or even on my chest. And then I would hug him and kiss him. And then he'd go, ah, and he'd crawl away. And then he'd come back and then like lay his head down to cuddle with me again and then crawl away. Like we did that again and again and again. So yeah, that was super sweet. I love that. All right, your turn, my friend.
Okay. I was kidding about the competitive thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
I do this every week. You think you're just going to come in here? Okay.
Well, I've hired a professional writer.
Neither of those were real, Darren.
I don't even have kids. I just want to do a podcast. No. But I will say that it's funny how, you know, just seeing your children grow up and get that next stage, that next level of whatever that thing is, it's you know, it's heartwarming. And no matter how much you take a picture or how much you videotape, it's like you can't stop it. It's a train that's going.
Yeah.
And it's weird, right? You know, people go, oh, enjoy the moment. Enjoy every day. And even though you do, next thing you know, they're like another inch taller and their brains are developing even more. And it's, which is what you want. You
yeah.
know? But you know what I'm saying? That I, you know, and, but it's really sweet. The thing my son's been doing lately is wherever I go, my wife will show him on a map, you know, where I'm at, and he'll remember. And so he'll be like, you know, Daddy goes to the airport, do comedy. We're going to Miami. He remembered Miami, and then it was San Antonio, and now it's Northern California. He knows it's Northern California, and it's just kind of funny, you know. Like, he said recently, like we're comedians. It's like, oh wow.
He said we're comedians.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he said about himself, I'm a funny guy. It's like, wow.
How cute. Yeah.
And tonight, you know, we were playing. Like we're driving and it was just so fun. Like he had his little Captain America shield.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a steering wheel that he, you know, and then he's like seatbelt. And then he took one of he had this little microphone cord and he put the microphone cord across like a seatbelt. And I sat next to him and he had my wife in the, you know, you in the back seat and she's in the bed.
Like this is in your apartment or
what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the stuffed animals. And he's like naming places where we're going. First we go to Target. You know? He's like, mall. I go, oh, we're going to go to, you know, I'm naming different ones. He goes, no, mall, Target. Then we start, he's like, get gas, you know, fill it up with gas. Then he gets out and he puts his thing and he pretends, he puts some, this little toy, like it's a, you know, like the nozzle, puts it under the pillow and fills it up with the gas and gets back in. And then where else did we go? He took us there. Then we went to a Taekwondo. He wanted to go to Taekwondo class. And, but we didn't have his belt because it was put away. So, you know, how kids get creative.
Yeah.
He took a sweatshirt. And put it, you know, how a girl would hide her butt.
Yeah.
So he took the arms and he tied it around like that was his belt.
Oh, really?
So he could do the Taekwondo and he's going through his, like, you know, his, you know, one man, doing his forearms and stuff.
Doing the practicing or whatever.
Yeah. It's just sweet to, you know, like wanting to be a comedian and, you know, who knows what. He's just imitating his dad.
Right. That's really, yeah. Because there's a part of you that if he really was like, let's do this comedian thing, I think it's weird. Because I used to hear like actors and stuff that they would talk about how, what if your kid ended up doing, and they always go, oh, I would hate that. Like, I would be so afraid for them. Or that usually seems to be the common thing.
Right.
Would you have that same kind of fear? Like, it's like, oh, it kind of could be a struggle or.
I would want him to learn the you know, as I know, being a, you know, a funny person, a, you know, like he's a good, you know, hopefully we're good communicators. That I want my son to have that because I've seen other people. It seems like sometimes they do struggle more when they're not, you know, because you can get, you know, a lot further in life by making people happy.
Yes.
You know, unless you're like my podcast partner, you don't want to be, you know, don't use your wit as a weapon. Learn not to do that. But, you know, by the way, going back to this Toby Keith, we had a great lunch, you know, with my, you know, brother-in-law and his son. And my son was just sitting there. And it's funny when they just retain stuff and they pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to eat. And then my son, you know, kind of loud enough for other people could hear it. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Toby Keith. And we were like, people like, you know, he's not really here, buddy. Okay. Like, don't get people's hopes up, you know?
Yeah. That's great. How cute is that?
Yeah. Oh, but you know, he says he wants to be a comedian, but then like, he's also said stuff like, you know, what are you? And he's like, I want to be 80s rocker.
'60s rocker.
Yeah.
He's
Ginny play a lot of VH1.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh, really? The VH1. Oh yeah, no,
that's great.
Right. Like everybody wants you.
Come up from the road. He's got some kind of weird comb over and eyeliner on. He's like, come.
Oh yeah, he knows these singers. Queen. He knows them all. You know, like Freddie Mercury. Like you can hear the beginning notes, and he's like Steven Tyler.
Really?
Yeah, he knows.
Wow, it's funny what they pick up.
The David Lee Roth Van Halen. He knows that Sammy Hagar Van Halen.
Oh wow. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
This kid's going to be on like some kind of music Jeopardy. That's
but only up to about 1990.
10 years before he was born, still, or even longer than that. 20 years.
He knows Neil Sedaka. You know, because we taught him that. You know, the calendar. We taught him that. Love my calendar, girl. That's how we taught him the months. You know,
wow.
January, February. Yeah.
Wow. Man, that's it's yeah. But Jacob always impresses me when we're driving around and like he notices stuff, but nothing like that. Nothing like where it's like he knows references of like 50-year-old music and who's doing it and like the subtleties in tone between a David Lee Roth Van Halen and a Sammy Hagar Van Halen. Yeah. Like, that's funny.
It's kind of cool. I don't know he's gonna do that knowledge, but we get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like some little boys will pick up something. Everything's a gun. Everything with him is either a microphone or a guitar.
Really. I bet. Yeah. I wonder if the, I bet it's. I always hate
hopefully
when people do that
play,
thing.
Though. Hopefully, he can play.
Right, but it would be interesting. Yeah. That's the fun part about with the kids being the age that we're at now is that you see these like Jack's interest in cooking. Yeah. I'm not so dumb. I'm like, oh, he's gonna be a chef. He's gonna, you know what I mean. But you do have that inclination where you're like, how funny would it be? And I hope I can retain this memory because when he like say he's end up and he's you know and he reaches his dream of being a head chef at a Red Lobster. That's all we really want for our kids.
Or maybe he could be assistant manager of a Baker Square.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be great. I could get so many chicks back in there. Because at this point, his mom's probably kicked the bucket or we've left. And once the kids are out of the house, we're probably going to get a divorce.
But you know, you're right. You wonder, like, is there something that they're going to, you know, take and, you know, it's fun. And it is interesting to see, like, what will happen. Like, you know, hopefully, you know. He wrote a song the other day, his first song, and it's kind of cute. We videotaped it, and it's like he's like playing with his little toy guitar, rocking back and forth.
And made up a song?
He's like, listening, I am listening. But he's singing it more like, listening.
Like doing more, but like, oh, that's cool. That's adorable.
I am listening.
All right. Well, that was our show. You could find Darren Carter at DarrenCarter.com. Here's some dates that he's going to be June 22nd through 23rd. He's going to be at Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas. I know we have a ton of listeners in that Dallas area. June 29th through July 1st, he'll be in Fairfield, California at Pepperbelly's Comedy Theater. And July 26th through 29th at Tampa, Florida at Side Splitters. But all of his dates, depending on when you're listening to this, are available at DarrenCarter.com. In fact, if you go to DarrenCarter.com, you can be a fan of his on Facebook. Follow him on the Twitter. This your latest album, I'm a big fan because I got to see kind of the material develop in that. You can find that on iTunes. It's called That Ginger's Crazy. You can also find his fantastic podcast, which if you like this show, you're going to love his show, The Dick and Darren. Is it still comedy podcast or is it just the Dick and Darren podcast or show?
Yeah, they just go to iTunes and search in Darren Carter or search
in your podcast
Dick and Darren. You'll pop right up. Same thing with Stitcher, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're on Stitcher. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Stitcher is a sponsor of the show.
And Justin's been on a couple times. Go back through our catalog and you'll see him. He was great. One time we did
an overnight from a casino gig.
We had a laughing, that was a crazy episode. Oh my gosh. We were imitating this guy.
And it came out that Dick has a fear of transvestites. Like he has a petrifying fear of when he sees a man dressed as a woman. Like it makes him uncomfortable.
I think he's gotten over that fear. No, I'm kidding. And we'll be back next week to tell you all about it. No, I'm kidding.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So please grab That Ginger's Crazy. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Click through the banner for us. If you're buying something from Amazon, then we get a little extra money.
Even if you guys do none of this stuff, the one thing that is, you know, having a podcast, the one thing that helps us so much is subscribers and people leaving a positive comment.
Yes.
You know, I already know that your listeners are cool, you know, because it's funny. I did do like
we get rid of the ones that aren't actually. Yeah, it's a weird thing I figured out.
Haven't you? I don't know. I think I don't know if you've had this experience. There was another person's podcast that I did about a year ago, and it was weird. Anytime I got any kind of negative comment or negative thing on Twitter, it was probably like, you know, we said earlier, that person trying to be funny but fitting the tone of that podcast.
Yes.
And it would be like you know. Like your show's good. I mean, it's not great, but it's good.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like 4 stars or something weird where you're just like, really? Can't you just 5 stars?
Yeah, just 5 stars. I'm trying to feed my kids, assholes. Yeah. Yeah. You're not a critic for Rolling Stone. It's not, you know, Podcast Monthly. Just throw up a nice positive review because that sets out good karma.
My first CD, Shady Side, I remember like I was like, I need to get reviews. Someone said, you need to get reviews. And so I actually paid $10, mailed it in so this guy could review it, and I got a negative review.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, oh boy. He was like, you sit on one topic too long. And I'm like, fuck you, man.
So yeah, throw him a subscribe and give him a positive review. And I know we have a bunch of crossover listeners as it is. I know at least Tank and Oscar listen to both your podcasts.
Which is
and
cool.
This one.
Very cool.
Great guys. So on behalf of my good friend Darren Carter, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.